What is up and welcome, fellow awkward amigos. You already know what it is. It's the Ambassador Awkward. It is the Warden of Weird. It is awkward freaking Vegas. It's a very special edition of Pardon My Awkwardness. Not only is it because I am with the one, the only, the current Pardon My Awkwardness predictions champion. It's full gear weekend. It's officially here. Full gear is officially tomorrow. Normally we record on Saturdays. And we get it uploaded on Sunday, but we had to get these predictions in. This is the prediction episode. We're going to talk a little bit about NXT and the show that it was. Of course, we're going to talk about a little bit about Monday Night Raw, a little bit about SmackDown. There's a lot of random stuff. This was a random week of wrestling, setting up, not even really setting up anything with Survivor Series. That just feels super thrown together. AEW, like I said, their shows have been good. Dynamite was really good. Tonight's show was really good. I think this is going to be a really good pay-per-view. I feel like there's the surprises of the debuts and all of those different things aren't overshadowing this pay-per-view, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of refreshing to an extent because it gives the fans the chance to just focus more on the in-ring, which I think is what we're really going to get. I feel like there is going to be a lot of physical matches. I feel like there's a good balance right now. Just looking over the match card briefly, I feel like you got the brutal matches that you know are going to be stiff, emotional matches. You got the matches that you're going to have some of your comedy spots in. You're going to have your regular, the more indie type spots. And you're going to have your matches that are going to be technical wrestling matches. And then you're going to have your matches that are a combination of all of those. I feel like, and that's what AEW is going to do a good job of bringing, this full gear. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be good. Outside of wrestling, what's been going on? What have you been up to, awkward day day?
A lot of Call of Duty Vanguard.
That's not surprising. I've been playing it a little bit. I played it a little bit on Wednesday on stream. I'm it's not bad. It's not a Call of Duty game that I'm just like completely crapping on.
No, I noticed you. I seen you.
I've been playing a little bit.
I seen you stepping it up.
Don't patronize me.
I seen it.
Don't patronize me. No, it's been good. The controls are a little different. Obviously we talked about this a little bit last time. The controls are a little bit different. I'm still waiting on the Warzone map. That's where my bread and butter is. I actually got a dub on stream the other day. Got a dub on stream. It was dope. But that's where my bread and butter is. That's what I vibe with. So it's like I'm ready for the new map. I'm ready to see what that's like. I'm ready to be on the verge of breaking controllers because of cheaters and hackers. And hopefully they maybe fix that.
Oh, they made a video about that before this game came out.
Well, I saw the video, the Ricochet engine or whatever it is that they're implementing, the Ricochet security system or whatever it is. It just made me think of Ricochet. And I was like, dang, I hope they book it properly. I don't know. Like I'm excited for it. I'm ready to play some Warzone. I'm ready to see what that's like. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for with that.
You want to know how much I've played?
No, I don't. It's something ridiculous because I think
this I'm week, playing.
I will say this week, I think I've only hit you up like twice. Because it's like, I know you're just playing Call of Duty. It's like Day-Day's for the first month to 2 months that this game is out, there's nothing else that you will set eyes on, you will look at, or you will even consider playing.
Well, I think I might have a team to play COD League, though.
There you go.
Yeah.
Heck so. Yeah.
Are
you gonna give the people the information, or are you just gonna like keep it under wraps? Yet. Is this like G14 classified?
No, not yet. I want to make sure.
Heck, you can't just bring up this information and then
I said it might. Away. So I know, but
might consist of like, all right, there might be a name. It might be can I find other players, other teammates on the team? Like, Like, what is the level here?
No, this would be like between like me, Don, like and his two friends, like you that.
That's starting your own.
Yeah,
so see, I'm over here thinking that.
No, I'm not into
something like. I mean, that's what I mean. You got to be specific over here. It's
if you would like to have me on your team, I'm available. Anybody?
I honestly thought you were asking me, and I was like, "What are you talking about?" Of course, you're available.
Yeah, I'm available.
You're terrible at the game. You're awful. You're the worst at Call of Duty. Like, I have never been more disgusted at something in life than when I sat down and I watched you play Call of Duty. And then what happened was they updated the graphics and I got to watch you suck in HD and like 4K. And I was like, oh my God, he is the worst.
No,
like the absolute worst. Like when I look at the bottom of the, like when you play and you and I play, I'm just like, and the game's over and I'm looking at the final kill and like the final scorecard, I'm immediately just going to the bottom two names. And see, I'm just like, there's Day Day right down there somewhere.
And there
and I'm always at the top. I'm always at the top.
That is cap like I'm the always, hat on I'm your always head at right the top. Now.
Like I'm always there, like positive every time.
No.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed positivity.
See, like, now
it's
you
like
go.
New day. It's like new day in Call of Duty. It's guaranteed. It's
power. Do we need to post KDs?
We don't have to. We don't have. I like Kevin. Kevin Durant.
We can.
Why do you want to play basketball against Kevin Durant? No, don't change the subject, Day Day. Don't change the subject. Uh-uh. Like you want to post up against KD? You don't have to post up.
No.
Come on, man. Like you don't talk. You don't have to change the subject because you're bad at Call of Duty. Like you don't have to. You don't have to do that. Come on, man. Hey, the people will eventually see it. If they tune into either your Twitch or my Twitch, they'll be able to see exactly how garbage you are, and how good I am.
I'm garbage. Yeah, right. Let's 1v1.
What CM Punk call Eddie Kingston? A bum?
You a bum. Let's 1v1 then.
No, I don't have nothing to prove to you.
Shoot. Let's 1v1. We know who the best
out of us
is. Yeah. You definitely don't want it.
Shut up. You don't know my life.
But you have a handicap too. I'll let you have 10-point spread.
Oh wow. Now we're just getting disrespectful. did you see the any of the new trailers for Disney Plus Day?
No. I did not.
I was hoping that you would have. I haven't had a chance to watch any of them. Apparently they showed some new information for like She-Hulk. For Moon Knight. Have you seen the Eternals yet?
No.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi
is on Disney Plus now.
Yes. I need to watch that too.
Yeah, you can watch that. How far behind are you on the Marvel universe?
I'm pretty much behind.
He said, I'm pretty much behind. I'm still in Endgame universe. He said, in my mind, Tony Stark is still alive.
No. I'm like, I need to watch what was it?
You watched Loki, right? No, you didn't watch that. Did you watch What If?
No.
You haven't watched What If. Did you watch the Scarlet Witch? Not Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch. WandaVision.
No.
No. Okay, so yeah, you're behind.
Yeah, I'm behind.
You're gonna have to take a weekend where you just shut the blinds, turn off your cell phone, lock doors, and just pizza bites and Marvel television shows.
Yeah, I definitely have to do that at home because I hate being interrupted.
You gotta just shut the door, find a rainy day. Hopefully you get like a rainy Sunday where you ain't got nothing to worry about. Crack yourself open a brewski, kick back and watch your Marvel. I'm just saying, there's a lot that's going to be going on that, here pretty soon, and it's about to be insane. Personally, I think it's too much. I feel like I've talked about that. We've talked about that. I know I've talked about it on Twitch before, but it's about to go crazy. Speaking of Twitch, if you guys haven't already, do us a favor. Go ahead and follow us on all those wonderful social media sites: Instagram, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Toctic, TikTok. I'm at awkward_Vegas. Pretty simple, pretty easy to remember. He is at awkward_Day Day, AKA the worst player in Call of Duty history.
That's cap.
the worst duty, the worst duty, the worst. I was, it's right. Cause I mean, that's kind of how you're, how you play.
No,
duty.
No,
but before we get into the predictions of things and Day Day tries to kill me, do us a favor, just do us a favor. It's nothing much. It's nothing too much. Just go ahead and pardon our awkwardness. This is Pardon My Awkwardness, the most entertaining wrestling podcast you could possibly be listening to right now. Like I said before, I'm the ambassador of awkward. I am the warden of weird. I am awkward freak in Vegas, or awkward underscore Vegas on all those wonderful social media sites. He is awkward underscore Day Day. Like I mentioned before, he is your current Pardon My Awkwardness predictions champion. And with that, let's just get into it. Let's just jump right into these predictions. That's what we're here for. I'm pretty sure that's what the title of this episode is. I'm pretty sure it's just Full Gear Prediction Show. So let's get these predictions in. Let me get the match card pulled up. Make sure I have it. I have it proper here. This is just completely, for me, it is a shoot. I don't know if you already have your predictions already thought about. I know you've had some time to kind of formulate different ideas. So I'm sure you probably have a more, you know me, I come up with reasons on the fly, and those reasons end up biting me in the long run. So I don't know how exactly I'm going to pick this one.
This one might be on the fly for me a little bit.
You say that every time, and then every time you win. Every maybe time, like, you're like, oh, man, dude.
Maybe like know. Two matches.
Dude, I don't know, man. This is going to be the one. This might be the one. It's unpredictable.
Shut up.
This might be the one. And then come pay-per-view, come days come and go, Sundays, Saturdays come and go, and my shoulder is still without. My shoulder is still...
Look.
No title.
It's okay.
No title. Right. Man, I don't know. This might be the week you take it, bro.
You'd be all right.
Might be the week you take it.
Hey, I do say that, but it, you know.
Every time?
Not every time.
Okay. 90% of the time, no, like, man, this might be the week you take
it. It'll be some pay-per-view I'm really not sure of. And I win by like,
when's the last time you walked into a title defense like John Cena style confidence? What pay-per-view did you walk into with John Cena style?
I think the last AEW pay-per-view.
You lucky I got a bad memory. Because I don't even remember. Which what was that? All Out?
I believe so.
Dang, I think you did win All Out.
I did win All Out.
Shut up. How about that? Shut up.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. All right. So... Full Gear AEW 2021 match card. Let's go ahead and start this puppy off. Let's start it off with the pre-show. Nyla Rose, Jamie Hayter versus Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa. Tag team. Who's going over?
Thunder Rosa and Shida.
Faces go over?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say heels. I'm going to say the heels go over. I'm saying okay. Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter go over. I haven't seen Nyla Rose on Dynamite like a lot recently. She hasn't really been used. I know she's been kind of going back and forth with Jade. You know what I mean? I know she's kind of imposed herself in that. But from a match standpoint, I haven't. I mean, I'm sure she's had a couple. I'm sure she's had a few, but I'm going to go heels. I'm going to go heels.
Okay.
Let me see. Yeah. All right. Pac, Cody Rhodes, another tag match. Main show, main card. Pac and Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black and Andrade El Idolo. What do you think?
I'm going to go... Malakai and Andrade.
So have you heard the rumors about a little bit more rumors about a potential House of Black? Have you heard anything else about that?
No.
Okay. Because I know we kind of talked about it.
It'd be cool though.
Who would you, I know you said specifically Brody King. You said to me, you said you would want to put Brody King in the House of Black. Who else would go in the House of Black faction for you?
Mm. Danhausen. I'm playing. That'd be funny. I mean, I'd be okay with Homicide coming over there too.
The House of Black?
Yes.
I mean, okay, so the reason why I'm kind of like, I do
your
the head tilt.
Your face is blurry.
Okay, well, the reason why I do the head tilt is
but
legitimately because like if they wanted to do the skull mask more intentional with Andrade, that would kind of fit into everything that he has going on with Malachi Black. So that kind of works. So that's what I'm thinking. Like if like Brody King would fit into that, his style, you know what I mean? His he does the no talking thing if he wants to, because he's done it before. So you bring in somebody like that. He also kind of fits the mold of what would kind of go into the Malachi Black. So on that, I would kind of agree more than Homicide.
But he's in New Japan. I think Murphy would have been cool there too.
That would have been cool seeing him because he's already kind of played a disciple once. So that'd be interesting seeing him kind of take a similar role, but in a different direction. That'd be cool. That would be cool. House of Black, Tony D'Angelo. I'm kidding. Can you imagine Tony D'Angelo in House of Black?
Wow.
Hey, Malachi. What's up with all these candles? Why you got all the smoke around here?
Yeah, smoke alarms. Like,
did you forget to change batteries again? Oh, this beeping? No, Malachi Black, House of Black, Andrade, Malachi, Anna Jay. I would like to see like Anna, like I thought Abaddon, but Abaddon would be a little bit too much into that supernatural, you know what I mean? Side of the wrestling world that I feel like it would kind of take away. But somebody like, maybe not Anna Jay. I'm trying to think of, Kaylee Ray. If I could pick anybody to be in House of Black, I think it would be Kaylee Ray. I feel like Kaylee Ray would be a dope addition to that just because she has that crazy amount of intensity, borderline, like she can absolutely go nuts. And I feel like that would be a cool dynamic to counterbalance Andrade and Malachi's like coolness. You know what I mean? Like they're very stoic. They're very like not going sanity like Nikki Cross when she was the, you know what I mean? Running up and down and shaking the ropes and going crazy, but like very, you know what I'm saying? Like just this girl crazy, like something really wrong with her.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how the bunny is, except on 10, like, cause the bunny's kind of weird, but she's like she's mid card weird. You know what I mean? She's good for the feuds that she's in, but like with Alistair with Malachi and Andrade, I feel like something like that would be dope. All right. I got Malachi Black as well.
Okay.
I just don't think the whole team of Cody and Pat.
I think they're going to get into it.
Yeah. I just like either if they don't get into it, somebody else is going to come down there and cause them, you know what I mean? A distraction or something along the lines of that. But yeah, 100% Malachi Black and Andrade get that dub. I don't know what they're doing with Cody. I don't like, I really don't. I wish I could say that I did. There was one part because he came from the crowd, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, in moments like that, when it's a part of an entrance, I get it. When it's a part of an entrance coming through the crowd, I get. If you're already sitting in the crowd, I get. Where were you in kayfabe? In kayfabe, Day-Day, where was Cody Rhodes before to make him run through the crowd? He was at the concession stand. So in kayfabe, I'm to believe that Cody Rhodes was at the concession stand, heard a fight going on and said, oh snap.
No, kayfabe, that was a joke. I hope you don't think I'm serious.
No, I don't. But yeah. I'm genuinely trying to make sense of moments like that when it was like when the Shield or Moxley would come through the ring or come to the ring from the crowd. It would either be a part of their entrance or they would come from a segment. You know what I mean? They would be fighting in the in the lobby area, you know what I mean? And they would make their way through the crowd and they would come down there. But for Cody, it's like, all right, in kayfabe, I didn't see where he came from. He just was bolting through the crowd. And it's like, well, why?
I see what you mean. Like people like Darby, it makes more sense. Like Darby coming from a crowd or something like
that. Like I said, Moxley.
Coming to Eddie Kingston, even if he walked out of there, you don't know what he's doing. Because
Eddie Kingston was sitting at the bar.
Yes.
Drinking a beer and looked up and said, "Ooh, people are fighting in the ring. Let me go be a part of that." Chugged the beer and then walked down there. Like.
Yeah. So I know what you mean, though. It was weird. I was like, where is he going?
Yeah, it was just like where did he come from? The fact that he ran from the crowd. It just, for me, and I know I'm kind of, I would assume the minority in this, like that the majority are just like, oh my God, it's Cody Rhodes. But I'm the one that's looking at it like, where'd he come from? Like, what was he doing before then? Because if you're coming through the crowd, you're coming through the crowd for, like, I understand music hitting, people looking to the ramp, they come up behind them. It's distraction. Yeah. It's like, oh, snap. Well, he's there. Oh, crap. He's gotten me. Or the music hits, they come down the ramp and they run full speed, slide on the ropes and just start scrapping. But when you come from the crowd, just like, what were you doing before? That's what I mean. Like, I just don't know what they're doing.
He wanted a brewski.
Maybe he did. I don't know. I just don't know what they're doing with Cody or what's going to happen with that. But I will say I do have Malakai Black and Andrade as well.
Okay.
I think they need the dub. I personally think both of them need to be done with Cody. Even though that match on Dynamite wasn't bad. The Cody Andrade match that they had before, that wasn't a bad match. Like, that was a good match. I just don't want it to be another 2 months of the same feud. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just now Andrade is going to go through and he's going to beat up everybody in the Rhodes family. And if I was Dustin, I'd be like, dude, stop it. Stop it. Like, every time it's a feud with you, I get drug into this and I get beat up. Can we not?
Like, come put me in these matches.
Exactly. But we got a false count anywhere, 6-man tag. We got that Christian Cage, Jurassic Express up against the elite, the undisputed elite, the era, the elite era. Like, that was an interesting little
segment. I know. He's like, this, there's no disputed.
Well, not just that, like the initial engagement and interaction of seeing those two kind of like link up in the background. And then Bobby almost being kind of like a bounty hunter. It seemed like he was like, hey, go out there. Not really like a lackey, but like, hey, go out there and take care of this real quick for us. So I'm interested to see where that story goes. It might just be one of those, hey, we acknowledge it, touch and go, continue on to Bobby Lashley Bobby Fish versus to whoever else. And Adam Cole continues on. Or, because I'm not going to lie, tonight I was like, oh my God, is Adam going to hit Bobby for losing? Like, that's the thing that went through my mind. Was how can we get heat heel, more heat heel? And then obviously this was, I think that was that before? Yeah, that was before the Hangman Page segment.
Mm.
So I'm thinking like, all right, how are we going to get heat heel? Heel heat was like, all right, you clearly told Bobby Fish to go out there. You vouched for him. You said, yo, this is my boy Bobby Fish. The Bucks were like, hey, we're familiar with them. Adam clearly vouches for him. He goes out there and loses.
Mm-hmm.
So when Adam comes out there, I'm like, all right, Adam's going to start beating up Jungle Boy, which he does. But then when he goes for the chair, I was like, oh, they're about to set up another feud. Because AEW has recently done a really good job of doing that.
Yeah.
Of setting up feuds naturally, almost like a spider web. Like, they will allow something else to branch off and do its own thing just based off of the storyline that was originally going through. And it's like, oh, hey, here's Bobby Fish. Let's acknowledge their history together. They acknowledge their history together. Okay. Adam's asked Bobby to do something. Well, Bobby let him down. Bobby didn't complete what he wanted him to do.
Yeah.
Adam's supposed to be a heel. We'll have him waylay on a chair. Yeah, and I mean, we saw what he did with the super kicks in Undisputed Era, but Bobby Fish at the time, he got hurt. So it's like we never really got closure from how Bobby Fish felt about the whole situation, but it was NXT-style closure. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was very like, oh, hey, I was injured. I was gone for this amount of time when everything was going on with you and Kyle. But, hey, you go your way. I go my way. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we got. We never really got that undisputed closure.
So no, everybody just...
Yeah.
Roddy was gone for a while.
Yeah. And like I said, Bobby, I think was injured at the time.
Bobby was injured. Then it was just
Adam and Kyle.
Yeah.
And Adam's contract situation was going on. So it really just kind of left that. Like, that's why I said, I feel like something occurred. Who was it that came for a save? Was it Roddy that came for a save on Kyle, or was it Bobby that came for a save on Kyle? Somebody came for a save on somebody else at some point. I'm trying to remember exactly. Was it Bobby came back for the save on Kyle and Kyle said kind of like, get out of my way, like stay out of my way. It's my thing. Okay. That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't 100% sure. But we never got that, you know what I mean? That NXT closure to where tonight he asked, obviously Wednesday, he asked Bobby, go out, take care of Jungle Boy. Bobby doesn't accomplish that. Next thing I know, I look up, Cole has a chair in his hands and I'm just like, Cole's about to go straight Seth Rollins. He is about to go Seth Rollins on Bobby Fish, and the entire crowd is about to just boo the crap because Bobby Fish would have been going. Well, technically Bobby Fish was turning almost kind of turning heel. It seemed like.
Yeah, he was.
To where it's like, would you want to, I mean, that would be a quick turn back to face. You know what I mean? If it's just like, you know what? We don't want to turn Bobby Fish heel. Let's just have Adam Cole attack him and gain massive heat on Cole. And I mean, let Bobby Fish kind of be a face. I mean, with a mustache like that, you have to like, you know what I mean? Like you either are a face in wrestling or you sell tonics in the old Western.
So tonics,
like come get your tonics here. Fresh elixir,
snake oil,
fresh elixir and tonics. All right. So who do you have for this 6-man tag match?
Our guys, the Super Click.
Yeah, the Super Click. I think so. I'll say I agree right now. But my pick now does tie into my pick later.
Okay.
My pick now does tie into my pick later. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole. 100%, okay. 100%. Darby Allin, MJF.
Darby.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm going MJF.
Okay.
I think the Darby MJF thing, all of MJF's feuds feel somewhat short ever since the Cody feud almost. And I know the Jericho feud. I would say the Jericho feud did last for a little bit. But ever since, like, all of them feel kind of like we said, like rinse and repeat. Like come out, say the worst stuff about you that I possibly could say. You got to go through these different things and now you fight me. I'm going to break you down. And then that's the end of it. I feel like if they want to extend this Darby feud, if that is the direction that they're going to go with the pillars, obviously they've been really pushing the pillars. I feel like MJF needs that first victory because Darby's whole character is behind like fighting back. You know what I mean? His entire character is built upon having the odds stacked against him. And if you have him come out and just beat MJF clean, it's like, yay! What do you do from there? Like, where do you take Darby? Where do you take MJF? But if MJF wins, now it's like he can rub it in the face of Darby like he likes to do, and you can now extend, you know what I mean, this feud a couple months. And not even a couple months. Maybe a couple months. Maybe 2 months until you want to put MJF into personally, I want to see him go up against Wardlow. I want to see, I saw a comparison on Twitter and I got offended. And then I thought more and I was like, not mad at it. Somebody made a Wardlow Batista comparison. And I was like, ah, how dare you make a very interesting point? Because they were talking about Batista when he was Deacon Batista. When he was kind of going those roles, and then kind of how people saw him evolve into who he became. And where that really happened was Evolution. Evolution was where you saw probably Batista's biggest jump in character. Like, people really started to see the charisma, you know what I mean? On top of the strength that he already had and his ability in the ring.
Yeah.
And a lot of the similarities with Wardlow. And seeing those comparisons and then going back and watching that match against Wheeler Yuta, it's hard not to somewhat agree with said comparisons because how strong he is.
He definitely moved up in my book just because
how agile he is. But he's naturally charismatic. Like, and that's one thing that we see in glimpses of. Obviously, if you watch BTE, you watch Sammy's vlog, you watch different things behind the scenes, you will see that. And even a little bit, we've seen it in previous when they're kind of building up the when they're transitioning from the Inner Circle into the Pinnacle. Like, we saw that a little bit there, but it's not like he never really had a chance to go, I'm Wardlow. And I feel like we're getting super close to that point. And I feel like he needs that moment that Batista had. Like, when Batista kind of finally broke off from Evolution and was like, I'm going off to do my own thing. And you know what I mean? Like, he just established himself as a superstar. So I don't know what moment that will be for Wardlow. I hope it's just not going to be like, it's a Wednesday Night Dynamite. MJF screwed Wardlow out of something. How dare he? Wardlow's angry. You know what I mean?
Well, he's been saying stuff like...
I will say the accountability buddy was my favorite thing.
Because he's been pushing Wardlow or pushing him in front of people and all that. So
and
he's getting tired of it.
I want it to be like... If they're going to do something, I want it to be for a title. I want him to get MJF for like something big. Like, maybe after Hangman wins this. Sorry, that's my prediction.
That's who I was going to pick.
After Hangman wins this, we'll have the winner of Miro and Daniel Bryan. Whoever that'll be. I don't even have a pick for that yet. Whoever that'll be will go up against Hangman. Hangman will retain. And I think... the next person after that needs to, I mean, if you don't go the Adam Cole direction, MJ, I mean, if you want to really put it on a pillar, and there hasn't really been a heel, an established like heel as a champion. Now, granted, you know, I mean, the belt hasn't been bouncing hand to hand back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, Jericho was kind of a tweener. Omega right now is like super over with the crowd. It's not really like he does heel stuff. Like, this contract signing was super heel.
Yeah.
Which that was done beautifully. That whole contract signing was done beautifully. But there hasn't been like a natural heel champ. And I feel like it might be time for a young heel champion. And right now, or obviously Hangman being a face, a good heel contender is MJF. Yeah. Like, I know, like, I'm not saying, on one hand, I'm saying it would be cool if he won. On the other hand, I'm saying it's not necessary that he wins that feud. I think in a situation like that, where you have MJF that can garner and generate a crap ton of heat going after probably, like we've always said, one of the most over baby faces in the company, Hangman Page, if you have somebody like MJF, that's naturally just going to garner heat because of who he's going up against. Then you have Wardlow turn on MJF to help cost him, you know what I mean, losing that title. Now you're going to have a massive pop for Wardlow because of who the heel is that he would be screwing out of that opportunity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In this situation, I think MJF definitely goes over. I think this is the beginning of the path of MJF kind of going into that potential contention for Hangman Page's AEW World Heavyweight Championship. We got a Minneapolis. Does that sound proper?
Minneapolis.
Good Lord.
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
What the?
Minneapolis.
There you go.
Monopolis?
If you.
Monopolius. Okay. A Minneapolis street fight between the Inner Circle and the Minneapolis Men of the Year and American Top Team. Who do you have winning for that?
Inner Circle.
Absolutely.
Yep, they're going to win.
So, who do you think eats the pin?
Dan.
Think it's going to be by Judas Effect, or you think he's going to make him tap out to a Walls of Jericho?
I think he makes him tap out.
Makes him tap out. I don't know if Dan Lambert's that flexible, bro. I don't know how
far. Yeah, you're right.
Like, I'm over here, like, I know he's with some super in shape MMA fighters, but I don't know. Like,
I just thought about that. So he might have to go ahead and take the Judas. That
might have to be a Judas effect. Like, take a back bump. Don't let your spine contort in that direction. Cause I'm not saying Jericho couldn't, be safe with it, but I feel like, Walls of Jericho hurts no matter what. Like, I feel like that's one of those submissions, like, it's going to hurt no matter what.
It does.
Yeah. You've had it. Yeah. You've done the crazy backyard wrestling stuff. So yeah, you're all about that. So yeah, we agree on that. American Top Team is going to take that L. Inner Circle is going to win the meningitis street fight. Then we have CM Punk, probably the most personal, the most bloodthirsty match on the night. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston.
CM Punk.
You have CM Punk going over. I think Eddie needs to be the first one to hand him a loss. I think Mr. Kingston, with that story coming out, did you read that article? There was an article that came out about Eddie Kingston. I would definitely advise giving a read before tomorrow. Because it just talks about how he came up, his background, how he was, how wrestling really saved him through. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I would definitely say it's a good read. It is a really, really good read. So I gotta go Eddie Kingston. I feel like this feud off of no buildup is absolutely insane. Like I'm familiar, and I didn't watch a lot of the independent scene. So you're more familiar with Eddie Kingston before AEW than I was. I've seen him on AEW, and watching him on AEW, having family from New York, like there's just certain mannerisms that he does, certain way things he says that I'm just like, this is family. Like this is my cousin. And it's hard not to naturally gravitate to Eddie Kingston because to an extent there's that relatability. And dude, the story that he has is awesome. So it's hard not to be a sucker for that as well. You know what I mean? When you got a good story, you seem like you're just naturally a good dude and you're a good performer, you're a great talent. Like you fought for stuff and you have achieved your goals, you've accomplished. Like it's hard not to root for that. However, looking at this match in itself, knowing that they came out and said, and I don't know if you saw that this specifically was Easter eggs to the CM Punk John Cena feud. When CM Punk was kind of, Eddie Kingston was kind of playing CM Punk's role, where CM Punk was playing John Cena's role, where Eddie Kingston just starts calling him out. Like, you look down on me. You judged me. That was, Eddie Kingston acknowledged in an interview, that was an Easter egg to that. The thing about that is, in this situation, one was a face, one was a heel with the John Cena CM Punk situation. CM Punk was supposed to be looked at as the heel, but he was super over with the crowd. And John Cena was just supposed to be the face. In this situation, I think they're both face. So it's like, how do you balance this out when you have somebody like CM Punk, where we've talked about this before, who's, whether it be through storyline, who's had some tough matches, and Eddie Kingston coming off a brutal match against Bryan Danielson. So you see what I'm saying? Like, looking at the kind of the trajectory of both of them, it's kind of hard not to look at Eddie Kingston and say he could come out the victor on this one, just because, you know what I mean? How their paths are crossing, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate, there are just certain wrestling tropes. You know, if you hold up the title on the go home show, you're not going to win it at the pay-per-view. Now, I don't know if a lot of those are just limited to WWE, or if those kind of traverse across the wrestling universe. But because Eddie Kingston said, I don't care about wins or losses, I just want to beat the crap out of you, that makes me feel like there's your out right there. There's how CM Punk can win, whether Eddie Kingston gets disqualified. No, I don't think it can get disqualified. Is there any stipulations to this match, or is this just a regular match? If this is just a regular match, then Eddie Kingston can get disqualified. And yeah, I mean, and then you would technically win off of technicality, which I think is bologna and cheese sandwiches, but that's cool.
What?
I think Eddie Kingston. I'm still picking Eddie. I'm still picking steady Eddie.
You still picking him?
Yeah, I'm still going with Eddie. I feel like he should be the one to, especially with the story that they have going on. I don't want this feud to end. I want to see more of this, because that feud, that promo back and forth was insane. Like, it was so insane. Like, him name dropping the names that he did. Like, it just seemed Wednesday night was just the night for name drops, and just to get, people excited for a possibly something with New Japan. You know what I mean? Like, and especially if they want to put Kenny in something with New Japan, I don't know if he does it with the title. You know what I mean? If they do want to build up a Kenny Okada or a Kenny Kota, like Adam Page brought up, like, you do that with the title? It'd be nice, but it'd also be like, Okada ain't taking that AEW title to New Japan. You know what I mean? So it's like, Kenny's going to win this. Like, I feel like it takes a certain level of uncertainty out of it. So if they did want to do something with New Japan, the AEW title is not going to be on the line. I don't know. I don't know. And that would also be good. And we'll continue on, because once again, a lot of these picks, I'm tying into this last thing, the last match. AEW World Tag Team Championship, Lucha Bros FTR.
Retain.
I think the Lucha Bros retain. We do agree on that. I think it's smart for them to just retain that. I personally think they need to win the AAA titles too. I think they need to win those. They need to win those back. But
I mean, unless those two are going to go over there and wrestle.
They might. I mean, they have the freedom to, which is cool. So like they definitely have the freedom to. AEW Women's World Championship match, Britt Baker, DMD, versus Tay Conti. Yeah, I think Britt retains. I think Britt absolutely retains.
Mm-hmm.
So probably, other than, in my opinion, Eddie Kingston, CM Punk, the most up in the air match of the night, Bryan Danielson and Miro. Very, very up in the air. You think Bryan Danielson?
No, I'm saying
Miro. Oh, I go first?
Mm-hmm. Oh, on this one, geez. It's your turn to go first. Shoot, I done went first on all these.
And we've still had different answers.
Because I got one.
So this one's tough because they've been very vocal about Brian never beating Miro. The last time Brian met Miro, he didn't win. So the fact that they mentioned it kind of eases the stress and eases the pain if Miro does beat Brian Danielson. Yeah. I said it before. I don't remember if I said it on air last week.
Remember, whoever wins gets that title shot.
And I think it's better if you have Miro go over and lose to Hangman than have that be Brian's first loss. You know what I mean? Against Hangman.
That's what I was sitting over here thinking about the whole time. Like,
because at least you get face versus heel.
Because I like Brian Danielson against Hangman. If you save it and wait for I don't know.
No, I agree, and I know why you kind of wave your hand. It's a good match, and you know it'll be a good match. But
yeah,
it doesn't have.
It doesn't do anything. It has a
draw. I think any match that Brian Danielson's name is attached to is a draw. I think that if Hangman Page versus Brian Danielson would be an amazing match for multiple reasons, a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
Their styles are incredibly different. The fact that one's AEW bred, you know what I mean, with Hangman, and the other one is a super veteran. You know what I mean? Both are incredible fan favorites. I think both are not afraid of going stiff wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So I think it would be a hard-hitting, brutal match. And I think it would be one of those knockdown, drag-out championship fights that would tell a great story. They would shake hands at the end of it, and the crowd would just have been blessed with a potential 4 or 5-star type match. Because I think Daniel Bryan has the capabilities and the qualities of being able to elevate something like that, even in loss. And I hope I'm not, praising Daniel Bryan too much, but I'm legitimately looking at the Miro Bryan Danielson storyline, and I'm looking at the promos. Like I said it before, that whoever was to go Moxley was gonna go on. You know what I'm saying? Like if Moxley would have been there, he would have beat Cassidy, he would have beat Bryan Danielson, he would have been Bryan Danielson's first loss, and he would have moved on to lose to Hangman Page.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Miro taking his place, Miro has not the same intensity, but Miro is living by a certain intensity. He's working by a certain, speaking to his God, like his
promos are, when he said, I'm going to have to make you say goodbye to your wife so I can say hello to mine. I was
okay. We talked about it before, his promos being so super poetic, but the other factor is he said one line that really, really, really stood out for me. I know I'm probably just speaking here, and I'm not speaking it verbatim. But he said, "Will my God sacrifice your neck for mine?"
Yeah.
And it's like, he's aware that he has a weak neck that's been talked about through multiple promos. Sammy Guevara, that's the only thing that he targeted with the whole TNT title, was his neck. And we were aware of Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson's medical issues. Whether it be concussion or whether it be neck related. But the fact that that statement right there, will my God sacrifice your neck for mine? It's almost, and the fact that they're bringing up he didn't beat him. It can just legitimately be a different type of Miro. And it can paint Miro as a even bigger threat for when he does win that TNT title back. Because I think CJ Perry's right around the corner. I think she's right around the corner. And I think they're about to do with CJ Perry and Miro with what Vince should have done with Scarlett.
And, yeah.
They're going to do exactly that. And that only makes me, and I hope WWE hasn't tarnished Karrion Kross's image or how he is perceived by the wrestling fans, because that is something that I would 100% be down to see, is Killer Kross and Scarlett go up against this version of Miro and CJ Perry. Because granted, where we might have watched WWE and we might not have seen Lana's best work in ring, but we all know Scarlett is a really good wrestler.
Yeah.
And if you put Scarlett in the ring with Lana, I feel like Scarlett can be safe enough and Lana can work well enough now that they can really put on something really, really dope that I personally don't think we've seen since AEW's inception. Like having like a match of that. Like I know we had the Shaq and Jade Cargill versus Cody and Red Velvet, but let's be real here. That match didn't, it was to help get the company more off the ground. You know what I mean? It was get more eyes, which was good. But I think with something like you bring in Killer Kross and Scarlett up against this Miro and a new package like CJ Perry, and like he's talking about her like with reverence, like she, it's her queen. Everything that he's doing is for her. Like, oh man, they could do something really, really special with that. And I would be 100% okay with it. But I gotta go Miro.
I mean, I gotta go Miro.
I have to go Miro.
I would like to see that match with him, like with Hangman and Brian Danielson, but I don't think it's the right time. He can go ahead and take this first loss and then he's still fine. That's one. He's beat everybody else that he wrestled for, like since he got there.
That's even from a crowd engagement. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if all the faces just go over.
Yeah.
Like that, it's, yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel the same way. But if you have a heel like Miro go over a major face like Bryan Danielson, and then depending on how they book the card, if right after that is the Kenny Omega Hangman Page match, which is the last match for predictions. And we both picked Hangman Page. Yeah. Like you have Daniel Bryan go over. Yay. The crowd's excited. A face went over. Then you have Hangman Page go over. It's like, yay, crowd's excited. A face goes over. But if you have Bryan Danielson lose, it's like, oh, man. And then you have Hangman win. It's the roller coaster of emotion that
match is going to be good. Miro and Hangman.
Oh,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, it's going to be hard hitting because, once again, neither one of them are scared to make contact. And both are very, very opposite of small humans. So like it's going to be heavy hitting. So you got Hangman Page as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, so we're different on a few. We're different on a couple of
more than we usually are.
Yeah. I think this will be a good match card. We'll touch on a few topics real quick because I do want to get your ideas on SmackDown today and what you're feeling with Shotzi and what they're doing with her. What was your take on seeing Von Wagner? Von Wagner.
I was so confused. I was like, what are you doing there? Like, why? Like, is there
after the Brock Lesnar situation, Adam Pearce needs some muscle.
But
so he brought in Von Wagner.
But he's supposed to be on NXT though.
Well, we know NXT has been completely, and this might be the new brand. This would not surprise me if this was the first insight to see how NXT 2.0 is going to be run. And it might be a situation like this where they may take the title holders and put them, really put them on TV. And everybody else that's in the mid card of 2.0 might be used for a couple of months and then they'll just show up on the main roster in a position. It might be something like that. Maybe. Because because if they see people fit and NXT 2.0 is legitimately being utilized as developmental We've talked about it. They're not going for the PWG matches anymore. They're not going for the ROH style matches anymore. They're not going for the 5-star 30-minute Adam Cole, Tommaso Ciampa. Well, they might be, but you know what I'm saying? The Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano matches, they might be trying to get that with Johnny and Tommaso, but they've been focusing on a different style. So if their go-to is we're going to put people on television for a month and then pull them up to the main roster where we quote unquote need them, even though we just did a crap ton of releases and we probably could have gave that job to somebody. I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things that we could potentially be seeing how NXT 2.0 is now going to be funneling mid-card talent into their main roster. Because who knows? We might see Bron Breakker show
maybe
up in the Royal Rumble.
And I could see that.
Like, it could be his debut. That could have been why he lost to Tommaso.
That's probably what's going to happen. Watch.
Like, that could be why he lost to Tommaso. It could be like, well, we're going to use developmental as exactly that. And we're going to pull people as we see fit. And we're going to focus on three main storylines. Cause right now it's what? It's Mello.
Yeah.
It's MSK kind of has a storyline, but that's just been through vignettes. Yeah,
they're
right now
going to find their shaman.
Like they're putting, I would feel like the majority of the show on Toxic Attraction. So they've converted. I mean, they put a lot of the titles in one area. So now they can pull tag teams as they see fit, especially the female talent. We just got Caden Carter and Casey Catanzaro back with a new look. Almost, it feels like a new packaging. So it could be a situation where they could just be kind of, yeah, I mean, you got Gunnar Harland and Joe Gacy. That's a focal point that they're working on. But you know what I mean? I don't know. There's just certain things that they're doing. Is he falling asleep?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Dogs will do that. Is he snoring?
He's up there. He's barking in his sleep.
Oh, that's the best one. Those are the best dogs. Cause that means they're dreaming. That means they're like running. Like they're like running through a field. He's chasing a mail truck. He's watching Friday right now.
Probably.
He's watching Friday right now in his dreams. And he's trying to get the mail. He's trying to get the mailman. He's trying to get Pops. but no, like I just feel like NXT 2.0 could be doing that. Like that's something that they could legitimately be looking at it and saying, we are just going to focus on developing talent for where we see fit. Yeah. And that could just be the way things. Oh, the Raquel Gonzalez thing before she gets called up. Cause let's be real here. She's getting called up.
Yeah, she's getting called up after their match.
After War Games, which is going to be the first War Games without the Undisputed Era in NXT. This War Games feels as about thrown together as Survivor Series does. Like, there's no buildup.
Who's going to be in the...
I have no idea. Okay, fantasy book. Last thing we'll do before we wrap up. Fantasy book your War Games team. Five
MSK.
Okay, that's
Ciampa,
two.
Ciampa, Gargano.
Okay, all right. Is Ciampa and Gargano on the same team?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And Ciampa, Gargano. So we're doing a Ciampa, Gargano, MSK, and you got because it's two teams of five, right?
Is it five or is it four?
It's not four.
Okay,
because remember it was the Undisputed Era and Sanity had. I'm getting all my War Games mixed up. Let me see. This is why they do it. It's people like us that they explain the rules before every pay-per-view stipulation event. It's like, you know, Royal Rumble every 90 seconds. Like, all right, we know this. Why do you explain the rules again for people like us?
I could have swore it was four because it is.
I know the Undisputed Era.
Yeah, the Undisputed Era, that was four.
Yeah, but I have a weird. It might just be four.
Like I could have sworn it was
four. What's the third man? The rest competitors in the stage. 1 minute, two. It is four, and they come out of the cage. Okay, so still book your Four.
Imperium.
Okay, so hold on. On your other team, you had MSK. Yeah. You had Ciampa Gargano, and you had who was your last one? Or yes, oh, yeah, that's it. Yes, so just four. Yeah. Okay.
And so then, the other team, Imperium and Carmelo, and
if you don't put Trick with them, then
yeah, I mean, like, might as well.
Okay. So we're just okay. Okay. Oh, all right. If I'm fantasy booking this war games coming up, okay, it's going to be Dexter Lumis,
mm-hmm.
Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay.
Going up against Bron Breakker, Joe Gacy, I'm assuming that Carmelo Hayes would have a different match on the card. So the North American Championship would be defended elsewhere. Bron Breakker, Joe Gacy, and Tony D'Angelo. And Andre Chase. No. Give me Odyssey Jones in there. So NXT 2.0 versus NXT 1.0, the final takeover.
Maybe. Boom.
Give me that. And I'm cool with that because now you can get to Tommaso going up against one-on-one against a Braun again. I'm okay with that.
Mine would be an athletic match.
You'd just have people crazy. Flipping off
and
of
just
stuff.
Crazy.
Like,
just...
I would want to see, could you imagine like Tony D'Angelo and Johnny Gargano, they get their blow off match from everything that's going on with them. I'm just saying, you give me Andre Chase, it's a teachable moment. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay with that. We got a big match card this weekend. I'm excited. It's going to be a good show.
Speaking of which, I'm about to buy it like as soon as we.
Oh, I picked it up yesterday. Yesterday I ordered it because I wanted to make sure. I'm doing a watch along for it.
Bleacher Report or
I went through Bleacher Report.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I'm doing a watch along for it on Twitch. So if anybody wants to come hang out, we will be doing the watch along on Twitch for Full Gear. Come hang out with us. Come hang out with the Awkward Alliance. Come hang out with my awkward self. I'll be giving my random commentary and how I feel about the matches live in the Twitchverse.
I'm going to have to do some Fast and the Furious to get home.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, because you get off at 7, don't you?
Mm-hmm. And it guess
starts
who,
at 7.
I'm a clock in early.
He said, well, I'm out 5 minutes ago, so don't know why I'm staring at your face. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. No, I don't blame you on that. It's gonna be a really, really good show. I'm hoping it's a good show. I think Tony Khan tweeted out. I know Mikey Ruckus, the guy that made Adam Cole's theme song. He tweeted out that the production team has been putting a lot of effort into this one to make it like really special. Like they've been putting a lot of like that kind of promotion on it. Not just like, hey, come watch the pay-per-view. Hey, buy the pay-per-view. It's been like, yo, these guys are putting in a lot of work. And they're really taking a lot of pride in their production, which I think is really, really good. Really, really good. There was something else that I wanted to, that happened. It wasn't on 2.0. I don't remember. Oh, Solo Sikoa.
Oh,
what'd you think? What type of attention are you getting from him? Like, what are you feeling about him?
He's just another Uso, bro. Like, except I mean, of course not right now. I just see it happening later on, while he's in NXT, but.
So do you think WWE To go back to what we were talking about before, if they choose just to kind of pick and choose NXT 2.0 talent as they see fit, as true developmental, do you think they just book him strong as much as they can and then just call him up to the bloodline and just say, all right, let's just bring him up and then just bring him to the main roster and just put him with the bloodline? Because to come out and he had his first match against who? LA Knight, I think. He had his first match
and
he
just and,
Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
So he had the triple threat against those two, but I think he came out and he just threw LA Knight and then tossed Grayson Waller, which led to this match.
He had a singles match and then he had
it was against somebody random. It was against somebody random. That's right.
Yeah, and then he had a triple threat like this past.
That's right. Okay. I don't know. Like I
why does his splash look more like
his splash? Like it hurts.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like
I reacted the same way to his splash last week. His splash last week, I think, was worse than this week.
It's like he came down with so much.
I don't know how you can make yourself fall fast, but he found a way to do it. Like it looked like the way I reacted to Wardlow's powerbomb on Wheeler Yuta, I reacted the same way.
I was about those powerbombs because I like powerbombs.
That we've talked about it before. I'm not taking an Alabama Slam. I'm not taking
it. Or that. God, I'd be worried about people's neck. I seen somebody get laying like folded. I'm
not taking a powerbomb. That's what it was. What'd you think about what's his name? Seth Rollins coming out looking like an airhead.
Listen, I seen that. I was like, boy, what's you wearing? Like,
And then what's her name? Becky came out. Did you see how she was dressed?
Yeah, I was like, you two.
They picked those outfits out together.
Like both of y'all, what y'all doing? He just
so I know I probably shouldn't have been sparkling as excited as I was for it. But I do have to comment on this before we do close up, because I was excited when it happened. And then when the tweet came out, I got like weirdly more excited and I was like, oh, please let this happen.
Okay.
When Corey Graves won the 24/7 championship,
listen,
Byron won it from him, and Corey's face in the background had me in.
I want you to know how hard I laughed at that. I could not breathe because
I do not like the 24/7. I don't like what they've been doing with it, but that right there is what they need to like.
Yes.
That was very, it doesn't have to happen all the time. I feel like after a while it would get bored, kind of like how I am right now, just watching Reggie flip through everything.
Yes.
But the chaos that happened with the way it was moving and how quickly it was done. Very, very, very well.
Byron had me dying, bro. Like,
oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got him so happy.
But I say that and to say Corey tweeted out, like he said, I think he said something along the lines of I want to come back to the ring. And I was like, please, if he gets medically cleared, bring that man back to the ring. I'm not even gonna lie. I was listening to Steven Larson. And they made a very valid point. They were like, yo, how dope would Corey Graves be as a manager? Like, imagine if I would love for him to get back in the ring. Like that Corey Graves, I remember watching that Corey Graves back in NXT when he was the tag team champ with, I think it was Neville. It was Neville. But like, if he was to be, so it really had me thinking like, if he was to be somebody's manager, he would be a really, really good manager. Because there's something just, you know what I mean? That's about him. Just like he plays such a good now goofball almost. Mm-hmm. He plays like a serious, like not really too cool for school, but like a cool goofball almost, where it's like, hey, yeah, I didn't mean to go crazy like that. I'm not that into Carmella. You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, bro, come on. We all know. Like, it's just kind of like that side eye. Like, come on, bro. Like, even seeing him when he won the title and him being like super excited and then his immediate emotional switch to like being disappointed when Byron died. Like, he's good with the facial expressions. He's a good talker. He can think quickly on the spot. I feel like he would be a great manager. I don't know who. Maybe if like he had a chance, if he managed Shotzi, I feel like that would be good heel heat. I feel that would be cool. Speaking of managers, I called you earlier. We talked briefly about it. MSK, they're going to see the Shaman. Ridge Valley Drive. It says RVD. I don't know if that's just an Easter egg or if that's just the fact that they were 420 miles away. You know what I mean? They had their supplies. He said, yeah, that means I have to fly. I like to fly.
He said, no more supplies for you.
Yeah. He was like, I like to fly. He said, I'm flying right now.
Yeah.
Like the certain things we mentioned it. And I said before, I don't think they have the balls to pull the trigger on it. I don't think they do.
Probably not.
I would be okay if they did, but I don't think they have the willingness to do it. But if next week, we'll see. It could happen on TakeOver. That might be their way to keep MSK off of TakeOver, but still have their presence there, is maybe that's when we get the reveal. Maybe we get another segment next week. And then I think is it the week after? It's like December, not the 5th. I forget what the week is. But there's a couple weeks before then. But maybe that's how they keep them off of TakeOver.
Yeah.
From losing the titles, is just to be able to kind of have them in these backstage segments on their trip. And they keep making these little jokes. That's hilarious about the Mile High Club thing, by the way. He was like, that's not what that means. But no, it'd be interesting to see where they went with that. And if RVD does show up, even as a gimmick, I would be okay if he was there. Yeah, you know, I mean, as their manager, like he represented them in NXT. I feel like that would be cool, and that might be a name that could bring some of the more, not necessarily casual fans, but even some of them older fans to kind of bring, like, what is RVD doing on NXT? And then the people that are familiar with MSK when they were the Rascals, they're like, wait a minute, RVD's with MSK? Let me tune in. So it might be something that they're investing in.
Bro, you know, there was a group or a couple of people that were there leading the booze against them to try to get them started.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard about that.
I was like, bro.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But yeah. I got nothing else. Huh? I got nothing else. You got anything else? We got our predictions.
Nope. I'm ready for tomorrow.
I'm ready for tomorrow as well. I still gotta get this beast uploaded.
Why are you blurred again?
I don't know, because I'm moving. Why are you blurry again?
Like blurring you out like the old 90s rap videos. You know
what? No.
You know how the shirt.
This ain't BET After Dark.
No, I'm talking about it. You know how, a brand would be on the shirt and they'd be like, oh, blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'd hold up a drink.
Nope. I remember they used to do that all the time. They used to do that all the time.
I'm like, what does it say?
You have to figure it out off the bottle. Is that a Nuvo bottle? Yeah, it's pink. Remember when Nuvo was a thing? Jeez.
I get heartburn if I drink that now.
Jeez, that's because we're old. Well, you're old.
We ain't old. No, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going to call you old. I'm not going to call myself old. I'm not old. Okay. I'm not old.
Tough not to deny it, but
not old. No, sir.
I ain't got anything else. You ain't got nothing else. We ain't got nothing else. Do us a favor. Like I said before, go ahead and follow us on all those wonderful social media sites. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We appreciate you listening. Make sure you like, if you haven't already, told your friends. Do me a favor. Do me the favor. You've already pardoned my awkwardness, but just one more. Stay safe. Stay awkward. Have a great time. Day-day. Hag me out.